Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you. Saints, the disciple of Jesus must remain in an ever-present posture of realizing his utter need for Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, "There is no good thing that dwelleth in me that is in my flesh." Then he says in verse 24 of Romans 7, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" So some things to own here is that there's nothing in us that's good that is in my flesh. Romans 7:18, "Dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not." You see, friends, in our hearts, which are depraved, they're desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17:9, there's an utter poverty of spirit. And so we must cry out to the Lord like John the Baptist. "You must increase today, Jesus, but I must decrease." Amen, friends. That's why we need that cross doing its work in us every day, perpetually. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul, the apostle of, some would say, the grace of God, well, of course, but also the apostle of the cross of Christ. It's the cross of Christ that provided the grace of God to save us. And the grace of God is not only the unmerited favor of God, it is the divine ability of God working in us, also the divine influence of God on our hearts. I mean, once you get a more fully orbed, if you will, a fuller definition of the grace of God, it absolutely expands your prayer life. It does wonders to the revelation of God and His grace. Now, we don't want to deify grace. I know it seems like a lot of people in the grace movement ignore purposely so many other Bible truths, such as the holiness of God, the justice of God, the judgment of God upon all who live in sin. And so we have to have a balanced perspective, and balance means having a full revelation of every one of the divine attributes of God and all the truth of God from Genesis to Revelation. Peter prays the grace of God will be multiplied in us. You know, each morning when I awake and have a prayer list of some of you beautiful saints out there, I think it's probably 12 to 18 or 20 people on that list now. And I always ask God to establish our hearts with His grace. You notice Hebrews 13:9, "Be not carried about with diverse or various and strange doctrines." For, and by the way, imbalance is strange. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, not just the grace of God, but also the holiness of God, the judgment of God. In fact, if you do the numbers, holy and holiness appears 654 times in the Bible. Grace appears 170 times. Do the math. They're both extremely important to the Lord. And so we have a full revelation, a growing revelation as Bible students that study God on His terms, which are stated and written in and recorded in His Word. So the writer of Hebrews says, "Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines." Boy, don't we know that there's so many strange doctrines and doctrinal systems that blow through the church, as Paul speaks of, and how so many are susceptible to every wind. That's a putrefying wind. Have you ever been anywhere? I know folks in the country know this better than anybody. You drive somewhere and you're passing, and all of a sudden you get this horrible odor. You know, we've all experienced that, and we have that blowing through the church. We have systems and heresies, and we're to be established in Christ. That's what overseers are for. That's why they're in place. They're elders, people that have just walked with God a little bit longer and according to the Word of God. And that's what elders are for, according to Ephesians 4. They're They're to equip and establish the saints in Christ. That's what we see here. And he gave some, when Jesus rose from the dead, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what reason? For them to wear those titles and be glorified among the people of God? No, not at all. To serve the people of God, verse 12, he gave them for the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing, the establishing of the saints of Christ in the revelation given to us in the Word of God of Jesus Christ, this so great salvation, Hebrews 2:3, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's the building up of the body of Christ. When Jesus said, I will build my church, he's not talking about building programs and organizations that are always getting more money to build bigger buildings. That's not of God, folks. Jesus and his apostles didn't raise one penny to build a building. Now, when Jesus is talking about building his church, he's talking about people getting saved, water baptized, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and parting the revelation of Christ in an increasing manner in those people. That's how Jesus is building his church today. And it's normally one-on-one. You ever notice that? The richest fellowship you get is when you sit down with a brother and have coffee, maybe one or two, or just one guy. And man, the scriptures, you read a few scriptures and fellowship, man, it's amazing. We got to stop this idea that all the work of God happens in our little building on Sunday morning. That's completely not New Testament, the way the modern church operates. And may God give us a fresh cleansing with the washing of water by the words of what New Testament Christianity is all about. And one of the things it's about is called out elders perfecting the saints. Sometimes it's comfort, sometimes it's edification, sometimes it's a rebuke and admonition, helping them learn the scriptures, charging them, as Paul did Timothy, to learn and preach the word of God, which is the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is the word of God. The word of God is the wisdom of God for the perfecting. So elders among us, by the way, it's not the people that stand behind pulpits. It's folks that are side by side, shoulder to shoulder with you, praying with you for your life and for the things God is doing in your life. And as you go through fires and seasons of testing, etc., and mountaintop season, they're with you all the time. They're available to you. They're not hiding in their little office or at home and then popping up behind a pulpit on Sunday morning. Pop-up church doesn't work with God. That's not what you see in the New Covenant, in the New Testament scriptures. You see Jesus himself who said, I didn't come to be served, I came to serve. That's the complete opposite posture of so many of these clowns many of you still call pastors. And I won't go all into that, but it's so obvious to the Bible student. Jesus walked among them. Jesus fed the 5,000. And Jesus walked with his disciples. He fished with them and overloaded their nets and took a nap at the bottom of a boat one time when they were going across the sea. And they all panicked and went and woke him up. And he said, be still. And the waves and the wind ceased, etc. As we read the Gospels afresh, we should pray that God would open the eyes of our understanding, that we would see the authentic gospel, which is Christ himself, and the way him and his apostles and the earliest followers of Jesus actually lived. It's real practical, folks. By the way, nobody wore some clown suit to represent God. These people that got to wear these, you know, you see some of these Todd White guys that's got a $500 shirt on every time you see him. I believe it's the brand called Robert Graham from Italy. You know, Jesus said, beware those who walk around in long robes. Luke 20, verse 46. What does that mean? Principally, that means people that have to, you know, garb themselves up. They have to don these elaborate clothing costumes to make you follow them and hear them. There's something wrong, folks. That's a red flag. Walking with Jesus is real natural and it's supernatural, but it's not about the flesh. That's just it. Paul said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ. We are nothing, man. Paul said he was among them weak. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he was weak among them. You know, he didn't come off flashy. He was constantly under attack, jailed many times, and his sufferings can be seen, his resume of sufferings, which are horrific in 2 Corinthians. As you read the book of 2 Corinthians again, you're going to see those resumes. But Paul said, I came not to you with excellency of speech or of man's wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. I didn't come preaching to you with man's wisdom, for I determined not to know anything among you save or except Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's not about us, it's about Christ. And if it's really about Christ in your life, you're crucified with him and you're preaching his word. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word. Verse 3, 1 Corinthians 2. Notice the difference between Paul and modern preachers. I was with with you in weakness and in fear. Sometimes he was destitute. That's a word that appears in his resumes in 2 Corinthians. He was destitute. In other words, that means he was sparing even of water and food. So that's consistent. When you see true preachers, that kind of stuff happening, you'll know you got a true preacher. The false preachers are full of wealth. They've been lying to people. They've been withholding the hard truths of Christ from people and building their nickels, noses, and numbers. And they're going to go to hell, 2 Peter 2:1-3, for not giving a full disclosure, endeavoring to give a full disclosure of all the cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith. But they're living high off the hog, and that's why they do what they do. But like Paul, preachers today, and there's only a few according to the Word of God and according to our experience as we look around and our discernment grows, they're not rolling in the dough, folks. Sometimes they're destitute like Paul. Paul was with the Corinthians, notice, weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Wow, it was a basket case, sound like. Well, he said that he learned how to abound and abase, Philippians 4:11-12. And then he says, in my speech and my preaching, he was anything but the showboat, whether his garb, his costume for ministering was a three-piece suit or some cool guy with $500 Italian jeans on with holes in them. I'm not saying it's bad to dress stylish, but if that's what you're using to draw people instead of just letting the wisdom and the anointing of God come out of a crucified life, you, my friend, are at least bordering on being a false prophet. Okay, we need to get away from trying to attract people by our beauty because, you know, even Jesus came. There wasn't any beauty about him in the flesh, according to Isaiah 53 in the prophetic utterance of the Messiah. So 1 Corinthians 2:4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. So many people peddling all these nifty little sayings. I mean, I'm not saying some of those sayings aren't okay. You know, there's probably a whole lot more need for us to just release and turn loose the Word of God, the King James Bible Scripture. And whenever I see that happening, which we see it, we do see a lot of that, and it's increasing, praise the Lord. I always like to encourage those people and thank them for sharing the Word of God. Amen. Not some fake new version, but the real Bible, King James Bible Scripture. Let me tell you, that truth is spreading like wildfire. People are starting to realize that these fake Bibles are a tool of Satan to mislead and have distorted and attacked the Lord Jesus Christ by changing his word. So my speech, let's preach the word, saints. Let's just unleash the words of God. We're not wiser than God. Our nifty little sayings aren't divinely inspired. We might as well just go ahead and get over ourselves. Amen. That's why we need the cross. Right? Amen. So Christ is reigning, not us. People don't need to see me. That's ugly. That's real. Why? Because there's no good thing that dwells in me, that is in my flesh. I can't win people because out of my personality or talk them into following Jesus. It's the Word of God that's going to convict them. And yes, they see the Word of God living in our lives where we're full of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God is bearing the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc. And they want to taste and see that the Lord is good because they see you, they see Christ and His light shining through you, and they see something they don't yet have. I don't know about you, but that's why the Lord, that's what drew me as a person, as a sinner. I was like, man, you know, the Christians I met, because I wasn't Christian at all. I was a Catholic. Ain't no such thing as a Catholic who's a Christian. Don't let anybody fool you. I don't want to hear your excuses. I've got over 2 decades in that cult. They're not preaching that you must be born again. It's a works-based pagan cult. So don't give me this stuff that you know Catholics that are saved. You better shut up and get on your face and start praying for them to be saved. I didn't say condemn them. This is in-house talk right here. Stop justifying wickedness. Ain't no idolater going to God's holy heaven. All idolaters are going to the lake of fire. Every list of soul damning sins in the Bible has idolatry as a damning sin. Get over yourself. Again, that's why we need the cross. And the cross gets rid of human reasoning, sentiment, and hearkening unto the feelings and the sensual. Instead of saying, God said it, that's how it is. Boom. Like Paul, let God be true and every man a liar. That begins with you and me. Every man is a liar. Let God be true. There is no good thing that dwelleth in me. Say that out loud today. There's no good thing that dwells in me. My heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, according to Jeremiah 17:9. How about this one? He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. What is it? Proverbs 28:26. He that trusteth in his own heart. Why? Because your heart is deceitful. It's only evil continually, Genesis 6, 5, and 12. Jesus Christ must reign on the throne of our hearts, folks. That's why we need that cross. Like Paul said, he keeps under his body, lest by any means, after he's preached to others, he himself should be a castaway. That's later in this 1 Corinthians book that we're looking at right here. And we're going to bounce back to where we were a minute ago. Somebody might be saying, this guy bounces around all the scripture. Well, at least it's scripture, right? Take good notes. Anyway, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. See, Paul didn't try to entice people. He gave the word of God as he himself was in weakness, fear, and much trembling. You know, later in 2 Corinthians, actually 12, he talks about when I am weak, then am I strong. And been having those conversations with saints on recently. And, you know, man, that is so relevant always. The word of God's all ever relevant. And listen, God lets stuff happen to us so that we're weak. And somebody, Sister Debbie, she had a little finger injury and we were talking about that. And we were talking about how God lets us to be afflicted so we learn his precepts better. You know, these afflictions, like Paul's thorn in the flesh, cause us to be flattened, man, you know, flattened. I mean, I was looking at some stuff on YouTube this week about children being adopted. And man, that just flat out shattered me, man, brought me down low. What a blessed place to be. The only place to be. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Amen. Matthew 5:3. Those are good things, man, that bring us down low and knock us down off our high horse, like, you know, Paul. And it's speculated that he was on a donkey. We don't know that. It doesn't say that. But he was definitely knocked off his high horse, if you know, figuratively. And to be brought low, man, into the house of mourning and out of the house of mirth or celebration and posh living and all this stuff. You know, there's something special about being brought low. And God loves us, and he's letting all things work together for the good to those that love God and are the called according to his purpose, as he conforms us to the holy image of his crucified Son. Romans 8, 28 and 29. So Paul is talking to and teaching the Corinthians out of his weakness, fear, and trembling, not using enticing words, not trying to be nifty with a man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and power, that your faith, here's the reason why, that we need to get out of the way and let people know just how weak and nothing we are. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. John 15, 5. Here it is, verse 5. So that what? Your faith, their faith, should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And that's what you got. You got a lot of people today that have built their whole life, their allegiance and loyalty and money all goes to this certain church fellowship where they like hearing this guy articulate. And in many cases, not all, but many cases, the guy has built his ministry on his ability to articulate words with enticing words of man's wisdom. We got to be careful about that, folks. People need to be endeared to Christ through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us as we are crucified with Christ. That's what's going to happen. You see, in verse 2 here, he says, he determined, Paul, not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. There it is, the crucified Savior. We need to be dead and buried with Christ. And anything people are getting needs to be by the out of the posture of our death and burial, where Christ is shining through us as we're weak. He's being strong and beaming the glory of his gospel into the hearts of men. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of God, the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's the resurrection power of God. We need to follow Christ and make sure we're not caught up in any cult of personality. So we were looking at Hebrews 13 in verse 9. Be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that, I love this, listen to this. This is going to be a nugget to somebody. It is a good thing that the heart be established with grace. Wow. Can I explain that? No, not at all. But don't you know we love this? God, establish my heart with your grace. See, we're still trying to get ministry done out of the flesh. Instead of praying, Lord, let my heart be established with grace, man. And when you pray for others, and by the way, if I'm on your prayer list, I want you to pray this for me. Not only that I'll be daily crucified with Christ, but that my heart, otherwise wicked without Christ, ever in need of his present grace seasoning this wicked, otherwise wicked heart. Amen. We will be established with grace, not with meats, religion, which have not profited them that have been occupied thereby. Also comes to mind 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. This is Bible, folks. That means this is the will of God. Lord, let your grace and peace be multiplied to each of the people that are listening to this scripture. scripture right here, right now, in Jesus' name. Father, we give you praise for it and glory and honor through Jesus Christ our Lord. 2 Peter 1:2, grace and peace be multiplied, not just added to you, but multiplied to you. Amen. 3 + 2 = 5, but 3 × 2 = 6. That's more. 5 + 5 = 10. 5 × 5 = 25. I don't know about you, but as far as grace and peace go, I'd rather it be multiplied to me, not just added. Do you catch that word? Grace and peace be, everybody, even I know enough math to know that. Never was a good math student. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. If you're born again, man, I'm praying this and speaking this. This is God's word. May grace and peace be multiplied to you, beloved, through the knowledge of God. Amen. May he bless you to know him better. And our Lord Jesus Christ, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. That's the written word of God, that by these, God loved us so much, he wanted us to have it in tangible form. How many of us are just rejoicing right now and thanking Jesus that he gave us his written word recorded so that we can learn his doctrine, be reproved, be corrected, doctrine, correction, reproof, and what? Instruction in righteousness, so we can be instructed in the ways of righteousness as we awake every day and prayerfully pore over his holy word, his precepts. Amen. Got to get in the word for the word to get into you, right? And then all the beautiful, exceeding great and precious promises will be yours. Amen. As you appropriate them by faith, as you read about them, you learn it, and you stop right there and go, Lord Jesus, Lord, let this be. Let your grace be multiplied in our hearts. Pray it over yourself. Pray it over those you're praying for every day. I would encourage you, if you don't already have a list, make a list. Might even start with one person, two people, three people that you're lifting up, that they will grow in grace today, that their hearts will be established with grace. The Bible is our prayer guide, the whole thing, that we would stand perfect and complete in all the will of God, Colossians 4:12, that we would be crucified with Christ. What happens when you're dead and buried with Christ? Watch out, devil, because now God is raising up your life in his power, and he is breaking the chains off your life and using you to minister his anointing and his blessing and his truth into the lives of others. Hallelujah. That's how the gospel works, folks. We're trying to do this thing in the flesh. If we'll just lay it all down and just do it on Jesus' stated terms and be crucified with Christ, then the power of heaven's King, is raising us up. Jesus said he is the resurrection and the life. So through the Holy Scriptures, the exceeding great and precious promises of the Lord, we're partakers of the divine nature, the holiness of God, the grace of God, the love of God, the truth of God, all of the things that are of God, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh man, so much more can be said there. All right, and then at the end, notice in the beginning, multiplied grace, right at the end of the book too, 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace, and don't you love this? Grow in grace. Wow, I didn't know how this message is going to turn out, but this is all biblical. And anyway, I just had one thought and hit record. But this is something God is interweaving because he wants this in us. First of all, we read in Hebrews 13:9 that our hearts can be established, deepened, multiplied in grace. Then we read in 2 Peter 1:2 that we can be multiplied in grace and peace. Now we're reading in 2 Peter 3:18 that we are blessed to grow in grace, quote unquote, but grow in grace. And notice how it always comes in conjunction with the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So as he blesses us, as we seek him, he says, I will be found of you. 1 Chronicles 28, I believe verse 8 or 9, as we seek him, he will be found of us. God isn't trying to hide from anybody, but he requires that we seek him. We see that throughout scripture. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. 1 Chronicles 16:9 from the sweet psalmist of Israel, David. Also, Psalm 27:4-8 speaks about seeking the Lord and knowing him. Notice this in verse 4, Psalm chapter 27. One thing, this is the most important thing he's saying. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I may seek, and that will I seek after. after. See, he had his face set like a flint, like God told Isaiah and another one of the prophets. This one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house, that means the presence of the Lord, all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Verse 8, Psalm 27. How many people love Psalm 27? Verse 8, when God said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee. Here's what David answered. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Let me encourage you to realize right now, my friend, you, that God is telling you right now to seek his face. And how are you responding? Are you saying with David, thy face, declaring, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 34 says. So 2 Peter 3:18, as we come in for a landing here, saints, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him, that's Christ, be glory both now and forever. So we can grow in grace. We can grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul said that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Philippians 3:10. That's why we created to know in the fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Jesus told us that. John 17:3, when he prayed to the Father, he said, this is life eternal. This was the whole reason that God sent his only begotten Son. Not religion, but relationship. This is life eternal. Here's the chief purpose of eternal life, that Jesus came and died to purchase for us. Hallelujah. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Bouncing back to Ephesians 4:11, and thereafter, he gave what? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. By the way, those people don't run around using those things as titles. They simply humbly walk out the function of them. Anytime you got somebody calling themselves a prophet or an apostle, I'm sorry, that's a red flag. That's exactly what they're not. Jesus talked about touting titles, and people do that as he was rebuking in order to elevate themselves above other people, which is the antithesis of what Jesus came to do. And as we quoted earlier, he came to serve, not to be served. Matthew 20 and verse 20 through 28. Jesus said in Matthew 23, 10 through 12, neither be ye called masters, man. Don't be called master, all of these titles, for one is your master with a capital M this time, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your what? Servant. That's what the word minister means. You're administering the word of God in the anointing of the Spirit of God through a crucified life. You want to see who's the greatest among us? It's going to be that quiet servant, the person that is an ABS person. A ABS disciple. What does that mean, brother? Always be serving. Always be serving. That's what Jesus taught. He that is greatest among you shall be servant. If we will posture ourselves according to the mind of Christ, Philippians 2, 3 through 5, your life will be changed immediately and increasingly from now to the time you're with Jesus. And man, you'll be like rejoicing and realizing this is where you're called, right here, to serve others, to get up unto them in prayer, be the wind underneath their wings in prayer. When they're weak, when they're struggling, when they stumble, when they're going through a hard time, when they have lost a loved one, you're there praying. You don't have to announce it. Just do it. And God's going to hear you, and he is going to bless them with multiplied grace. That's another thing we learn in the Word of God through the ministry of Paul, the life of Paul, that the grace of God is multiplied in the saints of Christ when the saints of Christ pray for those other believers. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19, for I know, Paul says, that this shall turn to my salvation or deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now, that's a nugget right there. So notice, Paul says that when the believers were praying for him, it was going to cause the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. How many people know when you pray for another believer that there's going to be a fresh supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ? Man, if that isn't amazing, what is, right? The more we unpack, if you will, we open the treasure chest of God's Word and unearth these beautiful gold and platinum nuggets, man, the more exciting our life in Christ is as believers, not only individually, but together as we look for the soon return of Jesus Christ. Amen. That was Philippians 1:19, speaking of, quote, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, quote unquote, Philippians 1:19. I tell you what, let me just say that again. I want this to stick in every one of our minds as a revelation, a revealing of the great grace of God. Notice that in Philippians 1:19, when the believers prayed for Paul, he said his deliverance would come through their prayers in the form of what? The supply of the Spirit, capital S, of Jesus Christ. That's the Holy Ghost. The supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Earlier, we spoke about elders among us. Make sure that you're under elders that are helping you be perfected, matured in the faith, equipped, notice verse 12, for the perfecting, the equipping, the maturing of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, getting to know Jesus more and more, which several of the scriptures today have spoke of. In fact, I want to go ahead and encourage you to perhaps listen to this message again, at least one more time, and get these verses in your heart and share this with others that are born again. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, a mature man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, so many people sit under, he goes on, hold on, that we henceforth from now on be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. See, that's what happens to people that aren't established in the faith by daily studying to show themselves approved unto God, workmen that needed not to be ashamed, rightly divided in the word of truth. You don't get in the word's not going to get into you, my friend, and you're going to be tossed to and fro by false doctrine. God holds you accountable. The word will not get into you until you get into it, and he's saying to you right now to study, to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's one of the things, people, that are true elders of Christ, not these high-paid CEO, quote-unquote, pastors, who have, in most cases are a bunch of powder-puff pansies that won't preach hell, judgment, holiness, the crucified life, the cross. So they're going to get you in the word. If somebody's not getting you in the word of God, then what are they doing? They want you to come back to them. They want a repeat customer. That's a false teacher, folks. God calls you to study his word and get to know him yourself. There are no grandchildren in the kingdom of God. Book of Ezekiel points that out. So you're not going to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine that comes through the church if you're established in the faith through your personal study of the word of God. By the sleight of men, notice, every wind of doctrine, by the sleight or the deceitful sleight of hand of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. See this? You ever heard the term a devil behind every bush? This gives us the picture of a devil behind every pulpit. You notice that? You ever thought about that? And cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You know, when a hunter wants to kill a deer, he's got to lie in wait. He's got to lie in wait. When the lion wants to take its prey, you see those documentaries where they're creeping through the high grass and they're stepping forward really slow, and then all of a sudden they take off. See, they're lying in wait. Get a hold of that terminology, to deceptively trick that, you know, deer or gazelle or whatever they're after, these lions, so that they can capture them. And that's what Satan does through false prophets. And I believe we get that picture here. Let's couple that together with 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because why? Your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking, lying in wait, whom he may devour. That's the way he does it. It's through cunning craftiness. Notice the terminology here. All of it so has such significance. We're not going to break it all down, but I want to encourage you to perhaps do so. So that's how Satan deceives people, through his false doctrines that blow through the church world, all of these fad doctrines and systems. It's through cunning craftiness. He crouches, he lies in wait to deceive. But no, we're to be established in the faith in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. You know, somebody recently told another person that, you know, facts don't care about your feelings. I love it. Facts don't care about your feelings. The Savior doesn't care about your sentiments. Crucify them and say with Paul, let God be true and every man a liar, beginning with yourself. Romans 3:4. Say it out loud right now. Let God be true and every man a liar. But speaking the truth in love, Ephesians 4:15, we may grow up in him, Christ, in all things, which is the head, even even Christ, from which the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint, each member, supplieth. You've got something to give that the body needs, beloved, and God has given you that gift to give. Are you being faithful with it? Doesn't the Bible say we're to be faithful to carry out the calling God has given us? Colossians 4:16, Paul says, for Archippus to carry out that calling God gave him. Also, in this very chapter that we're getting ready to finish up in Ephesians 4, we're reading in verse 16 right now, but notice verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, amen. Don't you know some people are going to go to jail for being Christians, and we're not to be ashamed of their chain? 2 Timothy 1:8, Revelation 2:10, some of you will be thrown into jail, but hold on, God's coming. He talks about 10 days or so many days, and notice here in Revelation 2 verse 10, Jesus says, fear none of these things, those things thou shalt suffer. Part and parcel with the Christian life is suffering. Notice, doesn't matter if people don't talk about it, it's a reality, and it's on every page of the Bible. Behold, the devil, who? The devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried or tested. It's going to be a blessing. God's going to use it. All of these things are going to work together for the good of those that love God and are the called according to his purpose. They're going to help us to be conformed to the image of Christ. Romans 8, 28 and 29. Okay, so some of you, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried. Amen. God's grace is sufficient no matter what. Doesn't matter what happens to us. Well, they might kill us. Well, you wouldn't have to be ashamed. Now you're going to be in forever glory, never to have any negative thing, pain, or anything happen to you again. I think we'll be jealous. So, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation. 10 days, it is 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death. See, that's synonymous with enduring to the end, something most the evangelical world denies. They believe it's a one and done when you get saved, but Jesus said you got to endure to the end to be saved. See, there's initial and final salvation. Anybody who denies Christ, he taught, is going to be denied of the Father. Luke 12, 8 and 9, Matthew 10, 32 and 33 come to mind. 2 Timothy 2, 12, if we deny him, he also will deny us. I mean, how clear could it be? If you're listening to me and you're saved, you're a king's kid if you're truly born again and abiding, but you're not home yet. You got to endure to the end to be saved. There's no such thing as a once saved, always saved, eternal security, one and done. That's a lie from hell. And if you're sitting on the people that are teaching you that, you need to run for your life. They are false teachers. That's Satan's first lie that he told. Genesis 2:17 and 3:4. So the devil is going to cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. In other words, a short time. Hold on, saints. Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Galatians 6:9. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you thee a crown of eternal life. So you got to be faithful. There's a condition here. Doesn't matter if people want to ignore it or lie about it. It's a condition. You see them all over the Word of God. Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And how do you do that? With all lowliness and meekness, in utter humility, with long suffering, forbearing one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. For there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So with the gift, whatever that is that you have, and by the way, it's never to glorify yourself, only Christ, and be used to edify and serve his people, bringing no attention to yourself. But unto every one of us is given grace, that is the divine enablement, the operational power of God is given to us, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ according to the measure of the gift. In other words, with the gift of Christ comes the grace of God to operate that gift, to walk in the humility of Christ, and to minister to him and to others. I mean, this Ephesians 4 chapter is absolutely a gold mine all by itself. Get into it, pour over it, make it one of your go-to chapters that you read every morning on a regular basis. Let me say this. There are three chapters that come to mind when we speak of, when we think of the body of Christ, here's three chapters, pretty easy to remember. Romans, 1 Corinthians, and Ephesians. You ready for this? Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. That's pretty easy, huh? Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians 4. So we were finishing up in verse 16 of Ephesians 4. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Amen. It's like your hand. When you hurt your knee, another part of your body, the hand, reaches down and rubs that knee to get the circulation going right. If you cut your left arm, well, your right hand reaches over, right? And, you know, cleans out that cut, puts a bandage on it. You see, the body of Christ working together. Notice, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body into the edifying, the building up of itself in love. See, Jesus taught us to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. As we close, friends, you know, we're talking about the need for the crucified life, because there's no good thing that dwells in us. And when we're dead and buried with Christ, He's raising us up through the faith of the operation of God, Colossians 2:12. And He's multiplying His grace to us and giving us and those we pray for in the body of Christ the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Philippians talks about, as we quoted earlier, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. I want to encourage you again, friends, to become familiar with all these verses we richly enjoyed communing with today in this message. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ and His precious blood and holy almighty name, without which we have no access to You or place with You, but through His name and precious blood, Father, we are Your children. You brought us home to Yourself, and we give You praise for that. Lord, we ask You to forgive us of any self-idolatry, the sin of self-idolatry, and for taking prayer, communion, and supplication, humble requests, and praying for others and for granted, God. We ask You to forgive us for any sin of prayerlessness, of not praying for our brothers and sisters. Thank You, Lord, for changed lives. Probe the depth of our being and do a deeper work in us, Lord, that we may know You in the power of Your resurrection and the fellowship of Your sufferings. Lord, let the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ be now multiplied to Your beloved people, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, as we come in the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Lord, we love You and thank You for Your goodness. Lord, we look for Your soon return. We lift up our heads and look up as we see all these things coming to pass, and we rejoice at Your soon return. We love You, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together, in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.